Hey, everybody, this is Dan Trottencheck. Thank you for coming back here to listen to the Taking Care of Business podcast. And we've got a pretty special one for you this week. We had the opportunity to sit down with someone whose name you've probably heard, Mr. John Hartman, the president and CEO of True Value, which has certainly been in the news its fair share over the last year or so. But we're actually bringing you this kind of special podcast because we had the opportunity to sit down with John at the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas, where John was one of the keynote speakers. And he graciously gave us some of his time to participate in the TCB podcast here. And we think we're going to show you a side of John that you might not have seen before, where he's going to be pretty candid about what's going on at True Value, what's happened since the change in structure, and where he sees the company headed over the short term. And he's going to talk to us a little bit, too, about his thoughts on the industry and where he sees the industry going and what we can all maybe do to add some strength to the independent retail segment of the industry. So we really hope you enjoy this special podcast that we recorded live right after his keynote address at the National Hardware Show. So please enjoy. Today's episode is brought to you by Kohl's Wild Bird. With Kohl's line of top quality birding products, your customers get what they paid for, more wild birds on the bird feeder. Launched from the family garage over 35 years ago, Kohl's Wild Bird Products is a true mom and pop success dedicated to making your store the place for birders to shop again and again. Kohl's believes that birds are like people. Give them what they like to eat and they'll come back and bring their friends. After all, if you just want bird seed, buy any brand. If you want birds, buy Kohl's. Hey, everybody, this is Dan Trottencheck coming to you actually as we speak from the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. So you're getting kind of a quasi-live episode of Taking Care of Business with Dan Trottencheck here. Lots of activity and excitement, as always, out at the National Hardware Show. And one of the big things that kind of kicked off day one was a keynote presentation from our guest today, Mr. John Hartman, the president and CEO of True Value. And unless you've been living in a cave, you have probably heard about all of the changes and kind of exciting new things that are happening with True Value, really kind of a inflection point almost for the industry, if you will. So we're very pleased to be able to take a few minutes out of John's busy schedule to sit down here and talk a little bit about where True Value has come and where they're maybe heading. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, John. Appreciate it.
Dan, awesome to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you this afternoon.
Fantastic. Why don't we start with, it's been about a year since kind of everything took place and you guys really kind of made the change from a more traditional co-op model and you had some investors that came in and became involved with the business. Why don't you kind of talk us through the crazy year that you've, I'm sure, been through and tell us a little bit about what's transpired since all of the announcement and the news about Akon coming in has taken place.
Sure, Dan. I think, you know, just to it's been a great year for us. It's a year we're really proud of. And I'll give you a few examples, but I think the headline is we're really pleased to have been able to keep all the commitments we made to our members and our customers and really show the growth that we knew was possible following the change in the business structure. But just to quickly revisit what actually happened, because there's still sometimes a little bit of ambiguity about what was the transition and what was the change that happened at True Value. Simply put, our business structure just changed. We look back with a high degree of respect at the co-op model, but we found that an opportunity to unlock our members, our shareholders' equity that was trapped in the company was a really advantageous thing for them, and they voted for it. Of course, they were, you know, overwhelmingly 80%+ of our members who voted yes, and the benefit back to them was having their hard-earned dollars and that investment back into their own control. And at the same time, the relationship with True Value really was unchanged, and we talked a little bit about business as usual, and you know, that's really what we delivered in that first year.
Yeah. So you think that for the retailers that are doing business with you, at this point, probably not a whole lot of difference from what they saw when they were doing business with True Value to the minute you guys signed the new paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I've used this phrase a couple of times before. We certainly kicked up a little bit of dust. You know, this is a change in a channel in an industry that really hasn't changed much. So it did garner a lot of attention, both from our members and customers and others in the channel. There was, you know, quite a bit of speculation, some of it very accurate, some of it not so much. And I think we just managed really well through with a very solid communication plan, with a continuous flow of information to our members and customers. We really managed well through. And as I said at the onset, it's really important for us to keep the commitments we made, like returning the money to our shareholders, like ensuring that our stores got their, you know, all the dividends they were entitled to, and then replacing those dividends with a brand new rebate structure, which largely keeps them whole as it relates to how they do business with True Value.
What have you been hearing? I mean, we talked before this all took place, and you put on some road miles out in the industry talking to retailers. Have you been kind of keeping up those same kind of conversations since all this occurred? And what are you hearing back from the retailers?
Well, right now what we're hearing is that, you know, in fact, I've seen a number of retailers right here at the show already today. And, you know, the common thread that we hear back is that, gosh, you guys actually did exactly what you said you were going to do. So our structure changed, but the way we go about supporting retailers, the way we invest I'd like to talk a little bit later about the investments we're making in the business, but the way that we continue to invest in how we support their business did not change. In fact, it's only going faster now.
Is there anything that did kind of surprise you after everything unfolded? Is there anything that you said, we didn't see that one coming?
Dan, we knew that, or I should say, you know, we thought, you know, prospectively that once we were outside of a model that required an investment to enter, that new business would accelerate. And that's been a very positive surprise for us. We onboarded a very dramatic number of new customers just last year. I mean, starting immediately after, after our announcement. And then that momentum's really carried through into the beginning part of this year. So we're really pleased with, in fact, it's a wonderful problem to have, mm-hmm. and that is, accelerating our ability to onboard new customers and do it in a way that's really seamless and efficient for them has been something that's had our complete focus.
As the customers have been onboarded, has that put any kind of stressors on the supply system or any of the operational side of True Value that you guys have had to address?
So one of the really wonderful things about the parallel nature of what we're accomplishing is that in conjunction with our business transaction, we've had in place a plan to accelerate the investments in our supply chain. Mm-hmm. So this was in tandem with the transition and the transaction, but not dependent upon it. So we, you know, last fall we launched hub and spoke distribution in the Midwest, which our team spent, because it was the first region of the country we went live with it, our team spent an immense amount of time ensuring that it was completely seamless for our customers. So what does that mean? It means that we are getting the really fast moving items in hubs much closer to our customers than normally they would all sit back in a distribution center. And we are using that hub and spoke model to improve fill rates, to improve the capacity around our distribution centers, and improve the experience that our customers have with purchasing from us. So that was kind of step one. And also last fall, we broke ground quietly on a brand new distribution center, which will be the anchor of our Northeast hub and spoke distribution approach. And while we just over the last few months publicly announced that new distribution center in Northeastern Pennsylvania, we had already started building it at the end of last year. So a huge $150 million infusion into our supply chain. And I think that's the reason I make this comment is that these are really in parallel with the transaction. People wondered what would happen after the transaction. Would True Value continue on its strategic plan? Yeah. Would True Value continue making meaningful investments? And the answer is yes, and even faster than we ever were before.
Is Is there anything that that you see kind of on the short-term horizon that are going to be new things that you're rolling out, or things that are going to kind of further strengthen those relationships with retailers or be of a benefit? I know we talked again toward the end of last year, and there were some things that you guys were kind of working on, new retail initiatives, new support initiatives, and so on. So what should we expect to see more in kind of the 3 to 6 or for the balance of this year kind of period?
Dan, one of the areas we've put a tremendous amount of focus on in the last couple of years, and we've also similarly accelerated that focus in the last 6 to 12 months, and you'll expect to see more this calendar year, is in the area of supporting retailers' marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. So we intentionally shifted away from declining effectiveness of national television advertising to local digital advertising, and in doing so, we put in place the process and system for our retailers to customize their local advertisements, even within the framework of a national promotional calendar. So our stores, our members and customers around the country can utilize True Value's annual promotional calendar, but can customize those promotions so they fit their local market exactly the way they want them to do. So they can swap products in and out. They can change price points that are effective for their market, whether it's urban, rural, or suburban, whether they have a large format, mid-size, or small format store. So they can customize the entire approach to those local promotions. At the same time, we're allowing them to utilize that. What you'll see later this year is, and I mentioned that this morning, TrueValue.com Local is the next step in the evolution of this process, which allows them to customize the price, even though it's a national promotion. Because the digital advertising is going back into their market, there's no conflict in their market with what could be at another organization's national promotion. We believe that our customers know the right price for their market the best. And we have the tool now in place with the rollout of TrueValue.com Local that'll allow them to customize their pricing to match what's appropriate for their marketplace. And so that's happening right now.
You guys are focused obviously a lot on the kind of market-based marketing, if you will. Do you think there will be a time when you see kind of the return of True Value, kind of the brand on a national kind of televised scale or anything? Is that something that, obviously you've backed away from it now, but do you think that that's kind of more of an obsolete sort of thing, or is that something that you guys might someday make a return to?
We are, just to be clear, we didn't wholeheartedly abandon national television advertising. Mm-hmm. We just do less of it. We've really focused our dollars and our retailers' dollars in their markets. So we still do some a la carte event support and special type of event national advertising.
Yeah, okay. Talk to us a little bit about the change in the kind of makeup of customers at True Value, and obviously you guys when you kind of changed the structure, threw the door open and said, listen, we think we'll be stronger if we do business with a wider kind of swath of the industry. So how do the True Value reunions look a little bit different these days, and how does the customer base, how has it kind of changed over the last year?
Well, interesting you mentioned reunions. One of the first things we were able to do is just invite anyone that comes to one of our reunions to be a customer. Right. And so obviously there's a tipping point where it makes sense on the volume that a potential customer will buy from us. But beyond that, we've been really fortunate. Last fall and this spring at our reunions, we've been able to invite folks that were potential customers, and they could take advantage of the buying show that it is. Mm-hmm. The makeup, to your question, Dan, about kind of the makeup of our customer base, it continues to be very traditional hardware store based. We've signed a tremendous amount of new customers since the close of the transaction a little over a year ago. They are largely single store and multi store hardware stores. But interestingly, you'll if you look at our new customers, you'll see a very strong mix in the pro business. We signed the Carter Lumber organization, which is a large now 149 location lumber and building materials supplier based in Ohio with operations in seven states. and growing rapidly. So it's a testament to the product strength and the talent that the team has to be able to support a business like that, and also the opportunity for us to look beyond the traditional customer. So recently we signed Camping World and Gander Outdoor, which is a two brands that cover the country with about 120 locations, and that's what I think most folks would refer to as perhaps a non-traditional customer. Sure. In the channel. But really strong synergies between the CTBs, the customized True Blue assortments that we offer, and the opportunity to place an appropriate amount of CTBs in a perhaps non-traditional store, which is very complementary to their business.
Does dealing with what we've referred to here as non-traditional customers, does that kind of change the way you guys work from a buying standpoint? Are your buyers looking for broadening kind of assortments or learning from maybe some of those non-traditional customers what they're doing differently?
Well, we are all ears and always ready, willing, and able to keep learning. And so the absolute answer is we learn from our vendor partners every day. We learn from our customers. We learn from what's going on in the industry, and we keep a close eye on what some of the new and innovative trends are. Primarily, what some of these non-traditional customers find appealing is the fact that we can customize an assortment that's just right for their store, whether it's size and mix, or whether it's an urbanicity issue, or whether it's a rural location. They're really intrigued by the way that we customize our assortments across all the categories that we provide. Also, there's particular categories that just in and of themselves are very complementary to their particular offer. So if you think about a store that does largely outdoors, there's a lot of things that are in a typical hardware store that are complementary to someone that's shopping in an outdoor store, mm-hmm. and or an RV store. And so for us to customize a bundle of those common products together in a really convenient way that allows them to rapidly reorder and not fill their distribution center with a variety of SKUs, it's a cost saver, and it's a business builder for these new customers.
Fantastic. I think one of the things, going back just a second to talking about the changes you might see in customer makeup at reunions, one thing that I have to say that that kind of ties into an event we held last night, our Young Retailer of the Year Awards, but one thing I've noticed as I'm encountering True Value customers across the country, there are certainly a decided group of younger, kind of ambitious True Value retailers, and we're starting to see that more across the industry. But I've started to see a lot of those kind of next generation retailers. We had some great honorees last night, but at the reunions, I run into a lot of younger kind of energized retailers. Is that something that you guys are seeing? Is that something that is kind of an intentional focus, or is that just kind of the way the industry is going these days?
Well, first let me just pause and say what a wonderful event that was last night to see these seven young retailers receive the honor and recognition of being selected from a very vast pool of potential candidates and winners. And, you know, this isn't about True Value or any of the other flags. These are seven young retailers from across the spectrum of wholesalers and buying organizations and running their family businesses, and it's a wonderful event to see the industry come together and recognize them. We're proud at True Value that we've had an intense focus on young retailers. We have a young retailer group. We have meetings regularly throughout the year. At our fall and spring reunion, we have special events just to focus on training and education, and also social time and networking for our young retailers. So it's pleasing for me to hear you say that you've observed that kind of focus at True Value, because we believe that, you know, we don't think this small business, fabric of the community, independent hardware retail things going away anytime soon.
Sure.
So love to see the energy, the ideas, and when these folks get together, and we heard some of the comments from the honorees last night at the award ceremony, when these folks are given the chance in an existing or new independent hardware store, they bring an amazing array of talents that just the last generation didn't have.
Yeah.
And whether it's technology related or whether it's social media related or whether it's product niche related, these are people that are, these young folks are brilliant. And when you meld that together with the years and sometimes generations of experience in their families of running a local business, it's a really powerful thing.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break from our interview for just 1 second to get a quick message from one of our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Sacrete. Are you looking to add quality concrete, mortar, and stucco mixes, as well as repair and specialty items to your product lineup? Sacrete provides the tools you need to run a better business, whether that's through exceptional customer support, sales and marketing tools, varied product assortments, or just finding reliable products. Sacrete offers knowledgeable retail experts that understand the needs of your store. To learn more, visit www.sacrete.com/hardwareretailing. What do you kind of see as you guys are having to plan 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road for what the industry is going to look like? What are some of the challenges that you think that this independent hardware retailing segment of the industry is facing? And then maybe we could talk about how you guys at True Value are actively looking for ways to maybe help with some of those challenges.
Well, Dan, I think one of the great ways to think about what's coming down the pipe for independent hardware retailers is to look back over the last 20 or 30 years and see what's happened in the channel. And I think I saw in social media today that this is right around the 40th anniversary of Home Depot. So Home Depot, and you're like, well, John, we're talking about independent channel here. Why are you bringing up the big boxes? Well, Home Depot and Lowe's and regionally Menards and their predecessors like HQ and the others, Builders Square, they were a tidal wave of crossed independent hardware retailers. They rode hard in across the entire country and globally, and put a hurt on the independent hardware channel. However, the stores that stayed relevant, the stores that continued to invest, the stores that modernized themselves over the last three or four decades, continue to be really strong, financially capable, and as I said this morning, the bedrock of the American economy is local business. So then what came next? Then e-commerce came. And I don't just mean e-commerce in general, I mean Amazon came. Right. And if you look across independent hardware, currently, Amazon probably touches in the 14 to 15% of the SKUs that the average wholesaler, right, or the average hardware store carries. And look, I believe that with the continued focus on local, with a continued focus on convenience hardware, on that great project and product knowledge and the relationship that happens with that convenience offer locally, I think as it was with the big boxes and as it currently is with Amazon, the independent channel has a strong future ahead. But we need to stay sharp. We need to continue to innovate, and we need to continue to do everything as supporters of these independents to ensure they're best positioned to compete, because we know what's been, we know what's now, and no one has a crystal ball exactly on what's coming in the future, but we should all mark our own words, which is change will never be any slower than it is today. And we need to stay on top of it and ahead of it so we can continue to support these families.
And obviously one of the hallmarks of these independent stores that manage to not just survive, but really carve out a strong position in the market is their ability to differentiate. And coming to events like your reunions or shows like this allows them to be exposed to products that allow them to say, well, I'm going to meet the needs of my market, and I'm going to bring unique things into my market that don't maybe make it into the boxes or don't maybe rise to the top of the Amazon searches. And it's always one of the things that we talk about is it seems like independent retailers are really when you consider big boxes and Amazon for what it is as a marketplace, then independent retailers have become like the last real retailers out there. And if you view a retailer as a curator of products for someone that understands their market and then curates a product selection for their market, and so important for you guys to have a handle on the shifting. What do they need? What do they need product wise? Where do they need to be price wise? How do you guys stay on top of that? How do you guys keep dialed into what all of these different retailers, which now for you guys is expanding into different areas, how do you guys stay on top of what they need to be competitive in their market space?
Well, we have, you know, we've got a dozen or so people here at the show. So we're at all the big shows and sure. the regional shows and the specialty shows. For us, it includes the garden show, the rental show, all the shows. So we're staying on top of trends in the industry. We're also in our stores talking to our members and our customers about what's unique to their particular location, what their focus is, what their idea is on. And we garner a lot of, look, 5 years ago, we differentiated ourselves by moving very deep into FRAP, into farm, ranch, auto, and pet. And it really got honed about 4 years ago. And we've been doing it's been our fastest growing category for the last few years. And we learned that from the needs of our customers. We mm-hmm. listened to our customers. We responded to our customers with crafted assortments that are really appropriate for their particular marketplace. And you know, some of our rural stores and some of our suburban stores that are really deep into farm and ranch are just killing it right now. They're doing a wonderful job of meeting the needs of their customers. And I'll say, you know, locally, I'm really fortunate. I live less than 1 mile from my local True Value Hardware store. And I'm in there. I'm proud to say I'm probably one of their best customers.
Yeah.
If you look at the Morgan's Hardware store, there's a, you know, you're going to find the core, your core needs. There's a great plumbing. There's a great electrical section. There's, Easy Care paint, our own branded paint. We're the only ones, by the way. Here's a little commercial. We still manufacture our own paint. And, of course, Ben Moore as well. And then all the really important lawn and garden stuff, all the important grilling, you know, in the Morgan store, really anchored strong with Weber. And then there's a softer side of the store where Mrs. Morgan has placed her thumbprint, and there's a really unique and very shoppable, you know, home goods section.
Yeah.
And there's very unique products that she gets from a variety of shows. There's, gift type ideas, and it's in the community, in this part of the community that they're serving, it makes a really good mix. You can look left and see your traditional hardware store, and you can look right and see this really clever niche that they've carved out to serve a different kind of customer.
Right. And when we talk about that, you know, I'll get people that'll say, well, you're telling us to not be a hardware store. You're telling us to be something different. And my response to that is always, well, no. I mean, you got to have these core lines. You have to fulfill that promise to your customers that if I need to fix my toilet or fix a, you know, hang some pictures or whatever it might be, I can get that from your store. But it's all that other 20% or whatever it might be where you just really have to reflect your community. And you look at guys, I mean, one of the guys who, if anybody looks at our social media or reads our publications that we've been working with for the last couple of years, is a guy like Joe Franquina.
Joe's an awesome example.
And you look at his store, and it is such a great example of a store that is so well tailored to his market and that Brooklyn market, and from the artwork on it to what they do in their garden center and the way they are such a big part of their community. Even though it's a small store, what a great example to point to, and obviously a big believer in you guys. What a great example to point to. Here's exactly what we're talking about, a guy that delivers on the hardware needs but has found other ways to really be a reflection of his community, and those are the guys that seem to be doing pretty well.
And he's a young retailer. How
exactly.
About that?
Yeah, and he's a young guy and certainly has a different eye and understanding of what it takes to be progressive in retailing today. But he's coming from a good tradition, a good base of tradition in the retail world. What do you think are some of the challenges? I mean, you guys have announced been a year and so on, going back to kind of talking about True Value specifically. What sitting right here, you say, man, when I go back to my office, the things that are kind of keep me up at night are these things that we still maybe have to get done.
Well, what's, you know, Dan, what's really exciting right now is how much great stuff we have going on in the business.
Yeah.
We are we are making investments, and I don't just mean, you know, anyone can throw dollar figures around, but in terms of the importance of the investments, it's our entire focus right now. So we are focused on improving our sales force by doubling its size, and
really?
It's just not just not adding boots to the street. It's bringing in qualified people who are really, really capable, training them immensely before they even get out to interact with our members and customers, and then rolling that out across the country. And we are live in three geographies right now with our enhanced sales force, and we're really pleased with the initial results.
Is there like a time frame of getting from A to B on that, or is
it's
just
never fast enough?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And so all of our constituents, including our board, are watching our progress. And you know, I'm not a very patient person, but I understand also that when it involves onboarding new team members and ensuring they're fully equipped and ready to interact with customers is far more important than going too fast and not getting it right. So we've picked three geographies, and we're full in with our enhanced sales force in these three geographies. Another area that's really important and will always be important to us is product and pricing. So our merchandising leadership is here, interacting with all of our terrific vendor partners this week, listening, learning, understanding what the new opportunities are. And we will never take our foot off the product and competitive pricing gas pedal to ensure that our customers are getting the most relevant, the most innovative, and the best priced assortments that we can provide for them. And the third area of our focus right now, we call these our three ones. It's not like one, two, three. They're all three equally ones. The third area of our focus right now is our supply chain. Okay. So as I mentioned, and I won't repeat it, but the Midwest Hub and Spoke went live with just tremendous results for our customers. We thought the 99% fill rate that we achieved right after that implementation was going to come back a little bit. It has held strong ever since we went live, and now we're the construction of our new distribution center in the Northeast, which will be the anchor of the Northeast Hub and Spoke, is nearly complete. We'll start racking in that building in the next 60 days. So that facility will be open and running this year.
Okay.
So these three areas are our key focus, and I think that what I think about all the time is the logical steps that we have in place and tracking our progress to ensure that we stay on track and, where possible, go faster than we had planned.
We were talking a little bit about the youth movement, or some of the exciting young dynamic folks coming into the industry, and it's certainly exciting to see that. But one of the things that when I talk about things that keep us up at night at NRHA is that the industry is an older industry, and the while we do see more young people coming in, the average age of retailers is still late 50s, early 60s, and so when I get people that ask me a lot, what are some of the challenges that I see in the industry, I always say, well, you know, we've got a generation that's going to be exiting the industry. And oftentimes, most of the time, these are good businesses, but finding who's going to take those businesses over sometimes presents a challenge. And, you know, we've certainly seen other distributors in the industry kind of come up with their own ways to tackle some of those challenges of kind of business succession. Is there anything that True Value is doing or thoughts on that, of how we make sure that these viable businesses make it through that generational transfer cycle?
You know, and Dan, I go back to my earlier comments and how long we've been focused on the younger generation. So we have a really terrific track record of in many cases helping retailers turn over their store, whether it's a succession plan within the family or whether it's a plan that doesn't include a family member, and a sale to a key employee or to another member or in some cases to another organization's member. So that'll remain a focus of ours. We believe that the step that we took to release our members' equity last year was a really important step in terms of succession planning for a large number of our members. One of the things that all, regardless of what flag any individual hardware store may fly, if it does, other than the family name, one thing that's for sure is that stores that are financially viable, that have been reinvested in, that are modern, that are an offer that's appealing to not only female consumers but also younger consumers. Those stores are saleable. Mm-hmm. The members, the customers, have an asset that is of value, and it will find in the common marketplace, in most situations, it will find an easy buyer. Right. By releasing our shareholders' equity last year, we saw the most significant reinvestment in hardware stores that we've ever seen at True Value.
Yeah.
We saw new roofs, new parking lots, new storefronts. We saw complete remodels. Some folks who had already remodeled their store invested in another store. We saw re-merchandising opportunities with CTBs, and we saw very significant investments in our new marketing technology. So we believe that one of the most important opportunities for all of us in the industry is to find ways to financially secure these independent retailers. And one of the things that I mentioned earlier, and it's really a challenge, Dan, it's a challenge to all of us. Many of us across the channel talk about our love of supporting independent hardware retailers. And if we're really serious about that, I mean the collective we, I don't mean True Value,
right.
I mean all of us, if we're all really serious about that, then why aren't we talking about ways to make the channel more efficient, to make the channel more effective,
That's
to
a good point.
Find ways to ensure that these independents that we all claim we love are really, really as viable and as strong financially as they can be.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's an open question, and I challenge my peers across the industry to think about that as we do, and I think it's you know, there's no quick and easy answer, but I believe that if we come together collectively, we can do a better job of supporting these independents.
Do you think or see a time when, obviously, you know, distributors, you guys compete. Do you think that there's a time realistically that we could see that distributors come together more effectively to kind of deliver those kind of things? You guys obviously together with the vendor partners and groups like ours, I certainly don't want to leave us out of the equation.
No.
But I agree with you 100%. We have to start viewing this as a collaborative mission. Sure, there are points of difference for True Value from the other distributors out there, but there are a lot of things where we do have common areas where we certainly feel that if we can get everybody together to solve some of these common issues and create this economy of scale. I mean, listen, you could add up your sales and all the other guys' sales, and we're still just a fraction of what you would see through at Amazon or a Walmart,
or Home Depot.
Or a Home Depot. And so there's got to be some collective strength that we can begin to muster within the industry.
Dan, that's my belief, and
yeah.
and I think that's the challenge that's out there right now. You know, one of the very, very common pieces of feedback that I get from our vendor partners, and I can't imagine that the leaders of the other four national distribution companies are not getting the exact same feedback. It's like, John, we come and do two reunions for you a year, and then we go to the other guys and we do two shows for them, and two there, and then there's the National Hardware Show plus the regional shows. There's a dozen shows easy,
right,
that the same, that 90%, 95% of the same
yeah.
vendor partners are going to, and the expended effort, the expended dollars, the duplication and the repetition is it only costs the end customer,
yeah.
and that's our members and customers across all four of the major distribution companies. So, look, I think that there's an opportunity for us to, as we thought differently at True Value, and this isn't about True Value.
Right.
This is about all of us. But as we thought differently at True Value, there's an opportunity for us to think differently as an industry, certainly as the channel within this broader industry, and think about and talk about how we could do things differently to support the independents.
Yeah. And over the next 3 to 5 years, which is kind of one of my closing questions for you, is what do you think the channel is going to look like 3 to 5 years from now? I mean, we're seeing in retailers that we're seeing fewer numbers of owners owning more stores. And obviously there's consolidation in manufacturing, consolidation in distribution. What do you think that the industry on the retail side, distribution side, vendor side is going to look like 3 or 5 years from now?
Well, look, I don't think that we should view ourselves as any different than any of the other industries that have come and that have matured over time.
Yeah.
If you look at completely different industries, pharmaceutical distribution,
sure,
food distribution, There's really, you know, it's the sale of products from large distribution centers to, so when I said pharmaceutical, I didn't mean like just, you know, the prescriptions. I meant, if you think about what's in a local drugstore, it's very similar to a local hardware store, aside from the prescription part in the back. It's this diverse group of products that are that come from hundreds of different manufacturers or distribution companies. They're consolidated in a DC, and they go on a local truck to that local drugstore. We're the same. And so I think that as other industries have over time matured, we should expect the same in ours.
Is there anything, as we're closing up, any kind of message you'd like to just kind of leave the audience with, whether it's about True Value or the industry or just philosophically, anything like that that you might want to share?
You know, I guess, Dan, first, you know, let me just say thank you once again for having me. The, you know, the thought that I left the group with this morning when I had the chance to kick off the show this morning is really the challenge that we all have, and we have this. It's clear that we're an industry and a channel within the industry that's really passionate about supporting independent hardware retailers in our case, and I think we all recognize the important role that they play, not only in the community but in the fabric of America. I mean, many of these folks still talk about their little slice of the American dream, and we all believe that. I mean, we are bought into that, otherwise we wouldn't be here talking about it today. And I just, you know, I think that the challenge that I put out there to all of us is that we continue to find ways to enhance the strength of this channel, so that these folks can have another two or three or unlimited number of generations of strength in the future to come. And I think that we can't just sit back and wait and see what happens to the channel. We have to actually take leadership and drive some of the change that will improve the way we support these independents.
Absolutely. Well, John, thank you again for taking some time out of you. I know it's your busy schedule here trying to get and see retailers and vendor partners and everybody else out there to talk with us. And maybe we can get back together next year and get another check-in and see where everybody is on everything. Thank you for your time. And nothing but good luck to you.
Thank you, Dan. Right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Today's episode is brought to you by Flexon. Flexon water hoses have been the choice of home gardeners and professional landscapers for over 60 years. Based right here in the U.S., Flexon offers a wide selection of hoses. Whether your customer is maintaining their home lawn and garden, or they're working with a complex professional landscape, whether you need a flexible, lightweight hose, a drinking water safe hose, or a heavy-duty hose with the latest non-kink technology, Flexon has the right hose for you. Visit flexonhose.com today to learn more about what Flexon can do for you.